You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me to Mark, the 11th chapter. I believe that this is going to bless you. I believe this is going to help you. And maybe you know this already. It'll just solidify and intensify and confirm some things in your life. If you've never heard this, listen up. This will help you. I believe it is so important that we say the right thing, that we pray the right thing. We've been teaching on confession for a while here. We've had, you know, different speakers come in, Brother Rufus last week and Jean-Paul Angler about a couple weeks before that. But the bottom line, it's just real simple. If you don't pray and you don't confess and you don't stand on the Word, you're going to miss out on the blessing of God. You're going to miss out on the will of God for your life. Now, that's a strong statement. That God actually desires certain things for you, but you know, if you don't pray and you don't believe and you don't agree with God's Word, it's not going to happen.
That's right.
I mean, just because God wants it to happen doesn't mean it's going to happen. Right. He wishes that none should perish, but they do.
Right.
So we know that's His will. And all through the Scripture, we see Him telling the nation of Israel in the Old Testament many things that He wanted to happen in their life, but they didn't do right. They would not do right. So we want to do right.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Amen.
And one of the biggest battles we have, of course, is in our head and our mind, and then with that big hole under the nose, the mouth. Hello. Powerful tool to bless, powerful tool to heal, powerful tool to get you out of a situation. But by the same token, you can take that same tool and you can actually get sick, you can ruin your life, and you can dig the hole deeper. God wants us to dig out of the hole.
Yeah.
Amen. Climb out, as it were. Come out. Praise the Lord. Well, anyway, in this instance here in Mark, the 11th chapter, I just love this. It's just a great, great chapter. One of my favorite chapters in one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. Mark's one of them. But this is where he approached the fig tree. Everybody say the fig tree.
Fig tree.
All right. Notice what it says in the 12th verse, 11th chapter. Now the next day when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves. Now this is a little confusing when you look at this, because it appears, because he goes on and says, he went to see if it perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Well, you think, well, why would Jesus be upset? It's not the season for figs. Well, one of the issues here you got to look at is that when a fig tree was fully leaved out, it did have figs.
Yeah.
This was a little premature. It wasn't quite the time for figs, but sometimes figs came out early on some trees, and it wasn't unusual. It did happen. And so when Jesus saw the leaves, he naturally thought, figs are on that tree, because when there's leaves on the tree, there'll be figs on the tree when it's fully leaved out. And that's really the context of it. He says, seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves. Y'all see that? That gave him his expectation, in other words. He went to see if perhaps he would find something on it, because it made sense there should be something on it. Make sense? Because you read on, you think, well, man, it wasn't even the season for figs. Well, what was the big deal? The leaves were the big deal. In other words, it gave the appearance of having something on it, but it didn't have anything on it. You might say it this way, the fig tree was lying to Jesus. I mean, really? The fig tree was just, he was lying to him. He said he had figs. I got figs. I don't have any. When he got there, you know. And so it was unproductive. It was something that was not producing. It should be producing. For all appearances, it should have fruit, but it didn't have fruit. So Jesus gets up to the tree. And Jesus didn't like that thing lying to him. Are you with me? And I'd submit to you, circumstances lie to you all the time. Circumstances are talking to you all the time. This speaks to what life itself tells us. This is not talking about people. This is talking about things, circumstances. Okay? And I submit to you, circumstances are talking to us all the time. They're saying something to us. They're telling us something. And he gets up there and there's nothing on it. I got nothing. That's what the fig tree was saying to Jesus. And it says, New King James says, in response, Jesus said to it. The King James says, Jesus answered it. And really, that is a more accurate translation. Not the King James as a whole. I'm talking about that verse. Don't run out here and say, the pastor said the King James is the most accurate translation there is. No, it's not. I don't think there is a more accurate, most accurate translation. There's some good and bad in all of them. You have to get the spirit of the context of it. But incidentally, this Greek word here, translated answer King James, respond in a New King James, I may not enunciate this right, but if you're not a Greek scholar, you wouldn't know, so I'm going to throw it out there and you'll think I'm intelligent. Apokri namaho is the name, is the word. Everybody say apokri? Namaho. Speaking Greek. It's amazing. Okay. But this is a very specific word. This word is a very specific word. It's only used in the New Testament when Jesus is answering someone. When someone said something and he's answering back. He's responding to something said. Now this is the only time it's ever used concerning a thing he walks up to. So it's right to say he responded to it. He answered it because it was talking to him. In fact, if you look this word up in the Strong's, it would tell you that. I wrote out here somewhere, and if I had my glasses, I could read what I wrote out here. I need to write in larger letters. But apokri namahi, it's to begin to speak where an address is expected or an answer. That's the Strong's. The Vine's Expository Dictionary says, but always where something has preceded, either said or done, to which the statements refer. So it is a response. It's answering a question. It's answering something said, something you've been talked to, you've been spoken to, and you answer the thing. You respond to a statement. The tree was making a statement. And Jesus was answering it. Wow. You mean Jesus answered things? Yeah, he talked to all kinds of things. He talked to winds. He talked to trees. A little later on, he talks about you talking to a mountain. I think he's saying that there are obstacles in life, there are circumstances in life that many times try to prophesy your future. They try to tell you the way it's going to be. And if you listen to them, then they're going to get their way, as it were. And we need to answer life's problems. We need to answer the circumstances of life. We need to speak to them. No, that's not the way it's going to be. In Jesus' name, God says, thus and so, that's the way it's going to be, and I'll not receive that. Are you with me?
Amen.
Feelings come, feelings go. Thoughts come, thoughts go. Bad reports come. Are you with me? Circumstances, even storms. I mean, Jesus didn't put up with a storm. He said, be still. He said, well, man, are you telling me we ought to talk to inanimate objects? Well, how many of you want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
Good. I'm not saying walk around all the time talking to everything, but I think there are times when things are trying to make a statement and telling you you're not going to make it. You're not going to get something. You're not going to be provided for. You're not going to, your needs aren't going to be met. In this case, it was a need. It was hunger, as it were. And it says that Jesus cursed the fig tree. He said to it, let no one eat fruit of you from you ever again. He actually answered it. Thayer's Greek Lexicon, Fine Expository Dictionary, Strong's all agree that this word is used only when there's a response necessary. Now, you know, when you think about it, we've been teaching on this, don't settle in silence. Psalms 94:17 says, if the Lord had not been my help, my soul would have soon settled in silence. You settle issues by silence. Silence is a decision. To not say anything is to accept what's going on. That's real simple. If you don't speak up and you don't pray and you don't stand on the Word, you don't confess God's Word, then whatever's happening in your life is going to continue happening. The way you change it is by answering it, by speaking to it. Now, I'm not talking about people. You can't go around just blasting people. That's not what he's talking about here. He was talking about circumstance, situations. And that wasn't the only time he did something like that. But it's interesting that specific word is used there, and that specific word is only used in the New Testament concerning people that he's talking to. That tree was talking to him. Your empty wallet is talking to you. Your body pain is talking to you. The economy is talking to you. It's speaking to you. Now you can settle in silence, but if the Lord's your help, you don't have to settle in silence.
Yeah, amen.
That's right.
You can speak to it.
Yeah.
You can speak to the circumstances.
Amen.
And really, if you look at that in light of God's Word, the last word really rules the day. The last word. The loudest and the last voice that you submit to, that you accept. If you don't accept, and you say what God says, and you pray what God says, and you speak what God says, then you can change the circumstances. That unproductive thing in your life that's not producing, you can stop it. Got anything in your life that's just dragging weight, drawing strength from you? It's not producing. It's not working. Are you with me? Maybe you got issues. There was a woman who had an issue of blood. Mark 5th chapter. I think a lot of us have issues of other kinds, you know. Maybe you got issues. Maybe you're conflicted. Maybe you got an anger problem. Maybe you got a forgiveness problem. Are you with me? The list goes on and on and on. I mean, we could just list all kinds of things. Are you going to allow it to continue, or are you going to speak to that thing and say, no, 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 no?
Amen.
See, there's power in what we say. There's power in the words of our mouth. That's why prayer is so important. That's why standing on God's Word is so important. That's why getting our confession straight, the words of our mouth straight, what we say about each other, what we say about the church, what we say about our job, what we say about our body, what we say about our finances, what we say in line with God's Word is going to make all the difference in the world. Woo!
Amen.
Now, turn over to the 15th chapter, Mark. Is this helping you?
Amen.
Mark chapter 15. Immediately in the morning, first verse, the chief priest and held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and they bound Jesus, led him away, and delivered him to Pilate. You know the story. Then Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered and said to him, "It's as you say, you said it." And chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Incidentally, this is the same Greek word. He answered nothing. Then Pilate asked him again, saying, "Do you answer nothing? See how many things they testify against you," but Jesus still answered nothing. So that Pilate marveled. It always fascinated me when I looked at this and began to study this out. Why did he answer the fig tree, but he didn't answer them? Well, if he were to answer them, he would change what was going on.
Yeah, that's good.
And he wouldn't have died for our sins. But that's what he came to do, was die for our sins. And so instead of answering them, he let what was happening keep happening because that's what he came to do.
Yeah, right. Amen. That's right. That's good.
If you answer nothing, whatever's happening is going to keep happening. That's what he did.
Yeah. Right.
They abducted him. They locked him up. All he had to do is say, "No, guys, you got it all wrong." Because they accused him falsely of things.
Mm-hmm.
All he had to do is vindicate himself. All he had to do is explain himself. He had witnesses and so on and so forth. They said all kinds of things about him weren't true. Their witnesses did not even agree. All he had to do is speak up and change the whole thing. But, hey, he didn't want to change that.
Right.
And if there's anything going on in your life you don't want to change, just leave it alone.
That's good, Pastor.
Y'all catching this?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you're not answering me.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in one case, Jesus wanted to change the unproductivity of this tree and stop its false prophecies. And so he spoke to it, and it dried up from the roots. He answered it. In this other case, he didn't want to answer them because he wanted them to continue to go on their path and eventually crucify him because that's what he came to do. If he would have answered them, he would have stopped it. But since he said nothing, they led him as a lamb to the slaughter. Now, what's going on in your life? That's a good question. What circumstances are going on in your life? What's happening in your life? Do you like the way it's going? Fine, just keep doing what you're doing. Don't say anything different. But if you don't like the way it's going, then you need to speak up and you need to answer life's problems. I mean, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But if it is broke, by all means, let's fix this thing. And in light of this, he's talking about, of course, the tree. He's talking about circumstances. We can see in a huge event here concerning his crucifixion, the same principle involved, just on the other side of the principle, the negative side of the principle, not saying anything. Not saying anything won't change anything. Not praying anything won't change anything. Not confessing anything won't change anything. You want to change something, you need to confess something. You want to change something, you need to pray something. Amen? You need to stand up and be counted. I mean, if you want to stop the wind, you got to talk to the wind. Turn over to Mark 4. Woo! Hallelujah. Aren't you glad you're in church?
Yes, sir.
And there's a lot of places you could be. You could be in jail right now, but you're in church. Thank God you came here. You could be in a hospital. Hey, you didn't. You came here. Isn't that great? I mean, there's all kinds of places you could be. You could be home trying to catch up on that sleep because you didn't set your... Amen. Amen. All right, Mark 4th chapter. I believe that's where I want to go. Yep, I believe that is where I want to go. Yep, that's where I am. I'm going there. I'm there. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day when evening has come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and other little boats were also with him. A great windstorm arose. The Greek says mega storm, you know. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. I love that. And they woke him, because that's the only thing that wakes Jesus up. I love that. It was T.D. Jakes that said that one time in a sermon. He said, "Jesus will sleep right through your storm." Storms don't wake Jesus up. You do. Did y'all get that? Okay. There may be a storm going on in your life, but listen, God's just not going to just jump down. He's waiting for you to wake him up, as it were. He's waiting for you to call. He's waiting for you to cry out to him. Why didn't he do something? He's waiting on you to pray. Are you with me? It says they awoke Jesus. Many times we have to wake up the Word, as it were. In other words, we have the Word. We've heard the Word. We've prayed the Word. We've stood on a Word. We've quoted the Word. But see here, it's just still down there. It's still dormant. It's kind of asleep. We're in a situation and we hadn't been quoting it. We hadn't been praying. We need to wake up the Word.
Yeah, that's right.
Wake up. What's God say? Are you with me? Wake up the Word. Is there a storm going on in your life? You need to speak to that storm. Wake up the Word. What does God say? What does the Word say? What are you going to say? It's really ultimately not what those circumstances say. It's what you say or don't say that determines the outcome. It's not what happens to you in life. It's what you do, how you respond to life that makes the difference. You can go over case after case of people that have had bad backgrounds, bad past, hurts in their past, and so on and so forth. Some have made it, some hadn't made it. Some went down the tube, some rose above it and just made steps of it and stepped on top of it and stood up and got higher and higher. They climbed above the wrecks of their past. There's a poem Henry Wadsworth Longfellow wrote called St. Augustine's Ladder, you know, which talks about St. Augustine's past, and he rose above the past. He stepped on top of the pain. He stepped on top of all that other stuff, and while others slept, he climbed higher. Don't sleep through the pain. Don't sleep through the tragedy. Don't sleep through the crisis of life. Step on top of it. Rise above it. Speak to it.
Amen.
Yeah. Woo. You make the difference, not the circumstances.
Right.
Take what the devil throws at you and stand on top of it. Amen. Rise above it. Don't bury yourself in the midst of it. Don't let it plow you over. Don't let it consume you and take you over. You stand on top of it and says, "No, no, no." Woo. Are you out there?
Yes, sir.
So they woke up Jesus. And they said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Now, they're not really in faith here. Jesus, last thing Jesus said was, "Let us go to the other side." I think that was God's word and that was good enough. Anything that opposed God's word, they ought to have stood against. Anything that says you can't have what God says you can have, you ought to come against.
Amen.
Anything that says you are not what God says you are, you ought to come against.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Let's go to the other side." That was good enough. The word was spoken. All they had to do is put faith in that. No storm could stop it. Because God said we're going to the other side. But somewhere along the journey, they lost their faith. Somewhere along the journey, the circumstances of life overcame them. They listened to the wind. They felt the shaking of the boat. Nobody spoke up. Nobody said anything. Nobody prayed. Nobody said, "Jesus said this. We're standing on where we're going to the other side." They didn't know what to do. They woke up Jesus. Sometimes we get battle weary as it is. You know, things we get our focus wrong. We get our focus on the problem. We get our focus on what's going wrong instead of the answer. Hallelujah, somebody. And we get beat around and we get shook around, and you know what? We just quit believing. And we got to wake. That's when you got to wake up the Word. You got to wake up the Word and you got to speak to that situation in your life And you command the storms to quiet down, be still. It says he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. I don't imagine he just said, "Quietly, peace be still." I just don't get a picture of that. I don't see Jesus standing up there going, "Shh." I imagine he hollered at it. I had no problem seeing Jesus, "Be still!" Sometimes you got to do that. Storms are rolling and your mind's going 90 to nothing. You got to say, "Be still." No, 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 no. It's not going to be that way. Oh, you're not going to make it. You're going to lose this. You're going to lose that. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. Oh, come on. Be quiet. Be still. That's not going to happen. I'm blessed and can't be cursed. Amen. Hello. Don't listen to that. Don't let that take your life over. Woo. Are you with me? I'm telling you, circumstances talk to us. They talk to us all the time. They're always talking to us. Something can happen, and all of a sudden, it's talking to us. It's speaking to us loudly. I mean, the volume's up. That's the time to say, "No, no, no, be quiet." It's going to be like God says. It's going to be like God says. I'm answering this one. That's not going to be the final word. I'm going to answer this with the word. I'm going to still this storm. Woo! So he said to sea, "Peace be still," and the wind ceased, and there was a great calm, or a mega calm. Wow. Where once there was a mega storm, now there was a mega calm. What made the difference? Speaking to the storm. Speaking to the storm. Not to each other, not to people. To the storm. To the storm. He's talking about circumstances. People aren't your problem. Now you may think it is. The devil's your problem. Are you with me? Bitterness is your problem. Unforgiveness is your problem. Sickness is your problem. Poverty is your problem. Depression is your problem. People aren't your problem. Yeah, right. Woo! Speak to the thing. And then he said, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" Well, obviously, I mean, what did he do different than they did? He spoke against what was coming bad, and they didn't. He prophesied a brighter future. They didn't. They accepted defeat. He didn't. Wow. Now, if Jesus had been quiet like they'd been quiet, that'd be the last chapter of the book of Mark right there. That'd been the end of the story. Jesus would have let the storm determine his destiny. But storms don't determine your destiny. You do. You might say, "God does." Well, God does in His Word if you accept it, if you confess it, if you pray it. But you're the one that confesses and prays. Are you with me? And speaks up. Speaks up instead of lays down and be quiet. Back to Mark 11. Let me wrap this up. Hallelujah. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Woo, isn't it great to be in church? Man. Getting information, getting word, getting promises we can stand on, instruction on how to pray and how to believe God. Aren't you glad you're not alone? Aren't you glad God's for you, not against you? Aren't you glad there's hope? Aren't you glad you've got a bright future? The future's open. It's not engraved in stone. It's not fated to be. No, it's in fact, it's wide open. It's waiting for you to pray, waiting for you to believe. You can paint a better picture than you're painting. You can. You can do better. I can do better. We can all do better. Quit accepting the lies that the devil tells you and the circumstances that confront you and the tragedies and events that come across. Life's full of all kinds of stuff. I mean, but you know what? You can rise above it. You can have a bright future. You can change your destiny. You can change the direction of your life, your marriage, your finances, whatever the case may be. If you learn to speak to the circumstances of life, speak to the fig tree, speak to the storms. But know this, that if you do not stand against and you do not pray and you do not say anything, then whatever it's saying to you is going to happen. It will. It'll happen because there's no opposition. It'll happen because you're not coming against it. Don't you put up with depression. Don't you put up with it. It's a fight. I know it's a fight. Don't you put up, you know, with a feeling of uselessness and purposelessness not being used. Don't you do that. Don't you put up with that. Don't you put up with sickness when it's come. You know, listen, we know to go to the doctor. Well, let's pray. Thank God for doctors, but let's pray too. Amen. Let's believe God. Let's fight this thing. Let's don't accept this thing.
Right.
We understand, you know, you go to work, you get paychecks, you get money and so on and so forth. If you get laid off or whatever the case may be, don't you give up believing God to get blessed. Don't you give up believing God to prosper you. That's not God's will that you live like that. It's not God's will that you go under. But you got to speak up. You got to pray.
Amen.
Pray over your customers if you have a business. Pray over your business. Pray over your job. Pray for a job, whatever the case may be. Don't give up. Don't quit. You say it's been so long. Hey, God's word is still true.
Amen.
Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't accept it. Don't be silent. Oh, no, no, no. Don't settle in silence. Let's speak up. Let's answer. Answer. Okay. Mark 11. Let's wrap this up. Mark 11, what you see here is, of course, he told the fruit tree, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the fruit tree actually dried up from its roots, and they went back by that same place later on. And Peter noticed it, the 21st verse, and Peter remembered and said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Some translations say have the faith of God. But have faith. We know that. Have faith. God kind of faith, faith in God, faith of God, same thing. I mean, if you're going to believe in God and you're going to trust God and you're going to take His word, and you're having the faith of God and in the faith in God. It's the same thing, really. For surely I say to you, who's He? Wait, no, this is not Jesus doing this. Jesus is saying this to you. Everybody say me. Okay. For surely I say to you, whoever, everybody say whoever. Woo, hallelujah, somebody I could have a camp meeting on that word. Whoever. You know, kids say whatever, you know. But he's saying whoever. I love that, because that means whoever. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son to whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, who can be saved then? Whoever. Whoever what? Whoever believes in Jesus. Whoever believes in Him. Whoever, anybody, that's you, that's me. Who I am a whoever. Everybody say, I am a whoever.
I am a whoever.
Man, that's me, that's you. He's talking to us. Whoever does what? Whoever believes in Him would not perish. We believe that one, don't you believe John 3:16? Man, I stake my life on that one. Well, He's saying it again. He's just giving us another scenario, and He's saying whoever again. Whoever what? Whoever says to this mountain. hallelujah. Jesus, that was awesome what you just did. Jesus said, "What? Whoever says to this mountain." Why did Jesus get on their case in the boat? Because they didn't stop the storm.
Yeah, that's right.
He was asleep and they woke Him up. They didn't have to wake Him up. They could have said, storm, be still. He got on their case. I mean, you go read it. What's wrong with you guys? Jesus had to have a lot of patience. You know, He would say things like, have I been so long with you? And He said that in one case. He said, where is your faith? Peter, why did you doubt?
Yeah.
It's not that complicated. We just got to trust God. Amen? We got to trust God. Okay, so He says this, whoever shall say to this mountain, and he's talking about obstacles in your life, things that are unproductive in your life, things that they're not producing in your life. Put it that way. This tree was something that didn't produce, that just was not productive. It was kind of pretty, but it didn't do anything. It was just a form. It had a form, but it had nothing. There was nothing there. It had no fruit. Sometimes we hang on to things that just, they're not doing us any good at all. Are you with me? They're absolutely lying to us, really. This is what life's all about. No, it's not what life's all about. Life's not about Starbucks. But I do like Starbucks. I fight that. You know, I fight that. But I mean, I know. I love Jesus more than Starbucks. So, it says here, that you speak to the mountains. Unproductivity. Not Starbucks. Don't go be cursing Starbucks. If I find out y'all are cursing Starbucks, I mean, I'm going to have a talk with you. He's talking about storms, things that are telling you you're not going to make it, you know, false prophecies, as it were. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith.
Amen.
I love that. What will he have?
Whatever
he said. What about the mountain? Well, see, the mountain, he'd have the mountain if he didn't say anything, but if he says something, he'll have what he says. See, you can have what you say, or you can have what something else is saying. Depending on who has the last word. Now, if the circumstance has the last word, you're going to have what the circumstance is saying. You're going to have the mountain. But if you say to the mountain, be removed, be cast to sea, not doubt in your heart, not doubt in your heart, believe those things which you say shall come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Not what circumstances are saying. Not what the fig tree is saying. Not what the storm's saying. You'll have what you say. Isn't that what Jesus said? I mean, that's powerful, but that's what he means. We'll have what we say. What are you saying? I'd submit to you, in most cases, we're probably not saying anything.
Right.
We're kind of thinking if we ignore the mountain, it'll go away. But Jesus didn't say that. He said if you speak to the mountain, it'll go away.
Yeah.
You have to talk to the circumstances of life. You have to pray. You have to stand up. You have to be counted. You have to speak. You know, even in Isaiah 54:17, it says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, but every tongue that rises up against you in judgment, you shall condemn. It didn't say you shall ignore. You just condemn it. And that's not condemning people. And that wasn't blasting people. That was just talking about prophecies, words against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. And every tongue that rises up against you, you shall condemn. For this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Saith the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Says the Lord. The Lord says. Isaiah 54:17 is where that is. But there again, you're speaking to it. You're not accepting it. You're not being quiet. You're not settling in silence. You're speaking to it. See, life's problems need to be answered.
Yeah.
And the reason they need to be answered is because they are talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I got this problem. I got this situation. I got this circumstance. Well, you know what? It's talking to you.
That's right.
Need to answer it.
That's
why we need to pray. That's why we need to believe God. That's why we need to stand in faith. In fact, he closes this out and says, in the next verse, he says, 24th verse, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe you receive them and you will have them.
Amen.
Have them what? Them things that you desire when you pray.
Praise God.
And things that you believe you receive. But it's not just believing you receive, you pray them. You pray those things.
Amen.
Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask, whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, you desire, you ask. King James says desire. You pray those things. And you believe that you receive those things. You say, not the things that you see. Not the things that this tragedy is saying to you. Not the things that this storm is saying to you. Not the things that this fig tree is telling you. But the things that you pray. You believe that you receive the things that you say. Wow. What do you believe you're going to receive? Do you believe you're going to receive what this storm's telling you, or do you believe you're going to receive what you're praying? Wow. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. That's so good. I don't know about y'all. Woo. That's cranking my engine right there. See, I'm not a victim of what's going on in this world. I'm not. I'm not a victim of circumstance. I'm not a victim of tragedy or pain. And those things are in this life. I understand that. I tell you, my destiny is going to be determined by what I say or what I don't say.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm going to start talking.
Amen. That's right.
Yeah.
That's good.
I'm going to start talking to the problems, talking to the circumstances. I'm going to start speaking to them. I'm not your enemy. You're not my enemy. Those circumstances are.
Yeah.
That thing is.
Yeah.
Talk to that thing.